Well, hello, my name is Pastor Ben. Let me add my welcome to Grace. It's great to be here. If you're new here, let me add a special welcome. It's great to have you with us. I'd love to meet you if you're new, so please come and say hello to me after church. So, wasn't that amazing how many kids showed up? We got a lot of kids here, don't we? That's great. So, I think you've heard, perhaps, and now you've seen, we're going to have 4 weeks where the kids are joining us in adult church. So normally they're sort of tucked away somewhere down a hall, and there is an army of volunteers who helps them out under the great leadership of Pastor Becky and Francesca, and we're so thankful for their ongoing support and help. But we're hoping that giving them 4 weeks break is going to help them to serve our children better. So this is a really exciting opportunity for us. So I've been given the task of preaching during the first one of these. I wonder why it was me chosen for that. So my hope is that between Pastor Becky's kids spot and my sermon will be the normal length of a whole sermon. So my whole sermon will be a little bit shorter than normal. So we're looking at 1 Thessalonians. It's been a few weeks, right? We didn't have it a couple weeks ago. We believe here at Fraserlands that the Bible is God's word. The Bible contains God's message for us. And so we seek to understand the Bible. And we're looking at 1 Thessalonians as one of the bits of the Bible. And I just want to begin by saying that conviction's been very helpful for me this week, because I have had a hard time preparing this message. But because I'm convinced that God's word is here for us, I've sat with it for a bit longer than normal. So let me pray. Let me pray for myself and for all of us. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you speak to us and your spirit is with us. I ask that your spirit will be very active here today. Amen. So, before we get into today's passage, I just want to do a very quick review and tell you the structure of the letter. I realize we haven't told you the structure yet, so we should do that. The Apostle Paul went to the city, Thessalonica, and he preached. And there was that verse in Acts where it says, the world was turned upside down. When the gospel came, it turned the world upside down. We've looked at chapters 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 of this letter. And basically, Paul is telling the story of their conversion. That's basically what he's doing. So here's the structure of the letter. Do I have my slides yet? Do I have my slides yet? Oh, man. Ah, there we go. So Thessalonians, the first book of Thessalonians, has basically two halves. Chapters 1 to 3 is the story of the gospel coming. That's what the first three chapters are. And we're kind of halfway through that. So chapter 1, verse 5 says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and with conviction. And the first three chapters, Paul is reflecting on what happened when he preached. And then the second half, do I got a point like this? Or maybe I'm just going to ask you to go. The second half is chapters 4 to 5, where he talks about, quote, other matters. So in 4:1 he says, I'm now going to talk about other matters. And the two key ones are Christian living and the second coming of Jesus Christ, though there are a few others. So first lesson divides straight into half, and it's got these nice two sections. So we're in the first half right now. Okay, great, that's working. Okay, so today I have 2 points from our passage. The first point is the Word of God brings faith. The Word of God brings faith. And my second point is the Word of God brings suffering. So that's not going to be a very popular point, actually. So the Word of God brings faith. So firstly, the Word of God brings faith. I want to begin by talking about faith. What is faith? Thank you, Pastor Becky, for already talking about faith a little bit. There are a lot of ideas about what faith is. A lot of sort of understandings, I think, outside the church and inside the church. Some people feel like faith is something like optimism. A person with faith is kind of expecting good things. Some people think faith is something spiritual and have a vague sense. Some people use the word faith as sort of the content of a doctrine. You know, there's a Christian faith and a Muslim faith and maybe a secular faith or something. Near where Kelsey and I live, there's a park, and there's a lady that practices Reiki in that park. She's walking around the tree and moving your hands like that. We see her regularly. I think some people kind of feel like that about faith, like it's a bit weird and kind of supernatural. So the Christian idea about faith is specific, actually. The Christian concept of faith isn't like all concepts of faith. It's a specific concept of faith, and I want to talk about that this morning. For Christians, faith, here's an illustration. An illustration could be like being on an airplane. So I want you to imagine walking onto an airplane. There's that moment where you cross from the bridge and you go onto an airplane. And there are different people who have different experiences at their at that moment. There are some people that are just terrified. You know, those people. Maybe it's their first time, or maybe they had a bad experience. And they walk through that thing, and as they walk onto the airplane, their heart sinks. And they sit down, and when they take off, they're gripping the seats, real, like, gripping like that. And every time there's a rustle, you know, they sort of have a panic attack. There's another kind of person who's flown a lot, and they walk onto the airplane, and they can just fall asleep right away because they're totally relaxed. And they have no worries whatsoever about the airplane. I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't know where you are. For me, the really worrying thing is when the noise of the engine changes. Do you know what I'm talking about? So sometimes it's like, and then it goes really quickly. Every time that happens, I think, is the engine okay? Is the engine okay? And that increases my faith. Actually, God, I pray for the engine. Pray the engine be okay. I'm sure it's fine, but it just kind of freaks me out a little bit. So this is an illustration of faith because the point is not how strong the faith of these people are. The point is what the faith is in. All three of those people, the worried person, the confident person, and me, had enough faith to step into that airplane. And the question is the airplane going to fly? So it doesn't matter how much the person trusts the plane, so long as they have enough to walk onto the airplane. And the key for the Christian idea of faith is, what is your faith in? Is your faith in God? Or is your faith in something else? Because if your faith is in God, you have every reason to be confident, because He is good, just like we sang. And not just God, but faith in God through Jesus Christ. Faith in God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. In my illustration, God is like the airplane. If you trust God, your faith is in the right place. Faith in God is faith you can build your life on. I just want to say this. There's lots of people that talk about believing in yourself. There are lots of versions of this, believing in yourself. My wife was watching a YouTuber who was talking about the power of attraction. If you really think something in yourself really hard, things will come to you. And maybe there's a little bit of truth in it, but deep down it's a lie. Because if you trust in yourself, well, I don't want to trust in myself. Okay, so let's look at the text. So I'm really majoring on verse 13 here. Okay, great. So verse 13 says, "We also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of man, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Okay, so the next slide. So Paul's talking about the word of God twice, and he's talking about what the word of God does. So next slide. The word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So in this little bit, there's two things happening. Firstly, as Becky helpfully told us, the Word of God is at work. The Word of God is like a builder. He's working. But there's a second thing going on, which is the you who believe. So the next slide has a kind of funny translation. Literally, it says, it's at work in you, the faithing ones. We can't really translate it like that. But the idea is, you didn't just believe once, but faith is ongoing and happening and continuing and growing. It's like there's two parts of an engine going at once. The Word of God is inside you working, and as a result, faith is inside you working like this. When the Word of God is active in your heart, you say things like this: God is good. God is great. When the Spirit is talking to you, you sort of go away and you say, oh my goodness, God is so amazing. And that's where the process of faith comes out in your life. It's God who creates faith. As you get to know God better, as you get to know God more, your faith grows more because you realize He's so good. Now, back to my plane illustration, there is a difference between those two guys on the airplane. They both trust the plane, but the difference is their experience. One of them has anxiety, and the other one doesn't. The other one's very happy. I feel like I'm quite loud. Am I quite loud, or am I fine? Oh, I'm fine. Okay, great. So this guy on the airplane who doesn't really trust enough, he's just going to be sweating there. And this is how faith works for us. As we come to know the airplane better, as we ride the airplane more, we're going to have a happier time. As we come to know more of who God is, we're going to have a deeper sense of trust and faith that grows in us. So the Word of God is at work in us, building faith. I had an experience of this some years ago. I was reading my quiet time, and I have a verse up there from Exodus. Can we get that verse? So Exodus 34 says this: the Lord is compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." So I was reading this verse, and over a couple of months, I was reading through the Old Testament and Exodus and Numbers and all these stories. And one morning, it just struck me, the Lord is slow to anger. Do you know how many people in the Old Testament sinned? And how many people God forgave? He is abounding in love and abounding in... I just had this kind of moment. I was like, oh my goodness, there have been so many people who failed God, and He kept trying to love them. And I had this kind of a walking away sense of this verse is just really true. God is a person who is filled with love. He is slow to anger. And the few days after that, I was so excited about my faith. I was really, really excited about it. Faith is an ongoing relationship where we learn who God is. We learn to trust Him more. Faith is there for us in all our circumstances. We bring it with us. We bring our faith to work. We bring our faith to the parties we go to. We bring our faith to the places where we're suffering. We bring it to our key decisions in our life. I really appreciated what Grace was praying, actually. She was praying about waiting. I had a number of waiting things that have been happening in the last 3 or 4 years of my life. And I can tell you, I don't like waiting. When we're waiting, the key question is God good? Is God good even though I'm waiting? I really appreciated what Grace was praying. And the answer is, well, maybe I think God good is good in my head, but I need to learn it again in my heart. And God often brings us waiting seasons to increase our faith. So we need the Word of God to be at work in us. Paul has already talked about the fruits of faith in Thessalonians. We've got our next verse. So Pastor Josh talked about these two verses. Firstly, we remember before God, the Father, your work produced by faith. So faith is something that creates works. And secondly, it makes us turn away from idols. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned from God to idols to serve the living and true God. Faith is a wonderful thing that creates work in us and makes us turn away from idols. But the point is this. We need to be knowing who God is. And that's why the Word of God needs to be at work in us to create faith. So before I go to the next point, I just want to apply this. And I want to ask this question. So how do we get this faith? How does the Word of God work in our hearts? And the answer is we need to have a posture of humility. So let's go to the next slide. And one more, thanks. Okay, so it says, we also thank God continually because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the Word of men, but as it is the Word of God. So Paul talks about this image of receiving. In the book of Luke, there's an old guy called Simeon. And when he sees Jesus, the baby, Mary hands this baby and he receives the baby. It's a picture of taking something into your arms and holding it. It's possible for us to hear the Word of God and not receive it. And what we need to do is come before God in His Word in a posture of humility and receive what He has for us. The opposite of faith, there's a few opposites, but it's not so much doubt. It's about control, actually. The opposite of faith is the desire to control. I think there are a lot of people in this world who have a great desire to control many things. People try to control all kinds of stuff. My image, my finances, my career. Often people want to control people in their lives. If we have a strong sense that we can control things, what happens is we become angry because the root of control is actually fear. The root of control is anxiety. And the root of faith is our trust in God. The work produced by anxiety is control. And the work produced by faith is an action that rests. When we receive from what God does in our lives, we can act. We can go out there not needing to control things, but trusting Him. Okay, so that's my first point, and it's the longest one. Don't worry, it's the longest one. My second point is the Word of God brings suffering. So Paul's talking about the story of the Thessalonians, what happened. And the first thing is the Word of God came to them and created faith. It started this process of creating faith. But the second thing that happened to the Thessalonians is the Word of God created suffering. The sad reality is that there are people with religious faith who are hated and persecuted because of their religious faith in the world. And the Thessalonians discovered this when they became Christians. We don't know exactly what happened, but Paul tells us a few things. But what Paul really says in this passage is very surprising. What he tells the Thessalonians is this suffering for faith is normal. They've entered into a common experience that other Christians have entered into. Let's look at the verse. That should be up there. I don't have the verse. Just go back, thank you. Because I don't have the verse, could you pick up your sheet with the verse on there? Because it's important for us to see just exactly what Paul is saying. Thank you. Verse 14, Paul says, "For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Jesus Christ. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews." So the churches in Thessalonica have suffered just like a bunch of other churches somewhere else. And Paul is saying, you're becoming normal Christians by suffering. We don't know exactly what happened in Thessalonica. We know a lot more about what happened in Judea. We know that there was a semi-organized leadership group that sought to persecute Christians in Judea. We know Stephen was stoned for his faith. So we don't know exactly what's happening in Thessalonica, but we know it's bad if it's something like what's in Judea. And Paul says, there is a spirit in the world that hates God and His people. That's the stuff in verse 15. These people who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and they drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. The point isn't that Paul is a racist and an anti-Semite. Paul's a Jew. The point is there are people opposed to God and his word. Wow, this got pretty serious pretty quickly, eh? Suffering persecution. Sociologists argue, there's a few papers about this, that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world today. Actually, the most persecuted religion by far. Quote, today Christians constitute by far the most widely persecuted religion. I have a few facts. 4,300 Christians were killed for their faith this year, starting from January. 1,800 churches and other Christian buildings have been attacked, and 3,000 believers have been detained without trial, arrest, or sentence, or prison for their faith. If you want to learn more about these stats, you can ask me. This is very sad. I was reading this week about it, and it was more widespread than I realized. Now, Christianity is not being persecuted in Canada. This is happening in places like Nigeria and North Korea and Yemen. In Canada, the situation is different. There was a time where Christianity was the big kid on the block, and that's not true anymore. That day is gone. It is true to say that Christianity is being marginalized. I think that is fair. We're not being persecuted. We're not being put away for our faith or killed for our faith. But I am a person who is troubled by things like the Trinity Western case. It can be awkward to talk about Christian values in a public space. You won't go to jail, but you may get a cold shoulder. But I want to say this. Our stance to our marginalization should not be victimization. The attitude of a victim can be ugly. There are some Christians that talk about this in a shrill way, and it's really unfair that we're being marginalized. But the Christian response is faith. That's the Christian response. The Christian response is faith in God, trusting him that no matter what's happening, things are good. In the first 300 years of the Christian faith, there were times where Christianity was marginalized, and sometimes it was really, really persecuted. And those Christians didn't complain. They didn't call themselves victims. They trusted God, and they lived out their faith in ordinary, amazing ways. If you study the first 300 years of Christianity, it's quite amazing the stuff they did. And God grew the church so fast through the marginalized Christians, through just acting in ordinary ways. And the reason is God is good. He's in control and he's in charge. And we know that we can trust God because he is good. Friends, we know that God cares about our suffering for our faith because he sent us Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God coming to us, telling us, I know about the sufferings that you go through, and you can trust me because Jesus Christ was so committed to us that he died to us on the cross. So my main point for today is the Word of God creates this beautiful thing in our hearts called faith. And the faith that he gives to us is so great and so wonderful. I want to say one thing at the very end that has nothing to do with the rest of my sermon, but it just comes from the passage. So could you pick up your sheet again? Paul makes a very beautiful little comment from verses 17 to 20. Paul says this. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or crown, the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Here Paul talks about the special relationship between a pastor and his congregation. He says when Jesus comes back the second time, he is looking forward to seeing them as his most prized possession. And I just want to say this. I'm one of the pastors here at Fraserlands. I'm new. I haven't been here for very long. But I'm coming to love you guys. This has been a great time for me. You have welcomed me so warmly. So many people have welcomed me so warmly. I don't know everybody yet, but I'm so thankful that I'm here. I love praying for you. I love speaking to you. And I'm excited for one day where I'll be in heaven and you and I can hang out there in heaven. I just wanted to say that. I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, and I thank you that your word creates faith. I just ask that you will help us to see how good you are to us. Amen.